This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
Hour. Good Tuesday morning, Northern Colorado. Welcome in to the whole show powered by Chevron. Whew, what a weekend. A lot to take away, man. We were so excited to get to football and just to start to get some storylines on the field or from the field, as opposed to just going to practice leading up to that, all the projected depth charts, all of it. But coming away from the weekend that was, certainly got that. I mean, we had the Thursday game with Wyoming winning. Defense shuts out Akron. Great. We got CU losing to Georgia Tech on Friday night. Holding on to those timeouts. Interesting. Caden Salter, you know, it kind of felt like if that would have been Shedeur Sanders in that last drive, we were going to see some Shedeur magic. But Pat Shurmur, just play calling is very strange. Very strange. So what's life going to be like for the Colorado Buffaloes without their stars? I don't think this is a bad loss. I said this. If they lose, it might mean they're not going to be like a 9-10 win season. But a loss like that doesn't make me go, oh, CU's going to be bad this year. I think they're going to be okay. If they would have beat Georgia Tech, then I would have been kind of trending upward to, all right, maybe they do win 9 games. Maybe they are going to be there at the end when it comes to the Big 12 and competing for a playoff spot. So it was learning week, and we learned a few things. I don't think this is the end of the world for the Buffs. And then on Saturday, we get Air Force just annihilating Bucknell. It covered a 30-point spread. So does that mean Air Force is back? I didn't think they had it in them to cover a 30-point spread, but they did. So pretty good for Air Force. I did not watch that game. And then the UNC Bears. They beat Chadron State. Good. Had to. They lose that game, then it's like, what are we doing here? Then you had, I mean, what was it, Mike? Was it 14-0 when you had the lightning delays? There was like a long lightning delay. It was weird because I'm sitting in my house watching the game, and I've got my kiddo's sitting there next to me on the couch. We're watching, and then suddenly a big old boom of lightning just hits. And as I'm watching the game, they're clearing the field because I had it turned down. So it's like right when the lightning hit us in Fort Collins, they must have had a strike in Greeley at the exact same time. I don't know how weather works. But that obviously messed some things up, but that's not the story. The story is Peter Castelli goes down on the play. And in the third quarter, runs for a first down, kind of gets tripped up, out of bounds, comes down on his shoulder, gets up, and he's limping away. But it seems like it might be his shoulder. Ed Lamb, I don't know if he has gone into details on what the injury is. But when I reached out to Ed at the end of the game, he basically told me, great win, a lot of things to clean up. Castelli's going to be out for a while. The Greeley Tribune confirmed that he's not just out for a while, but he's out for the season. Peter Castelli, who went down last year, I think it was week 2 against Colorado State, wasn't it, Mike? And then they brought him back in later in the season and only to get hurt again. It's just unfortunate. You know, some guys just, they're really good, they're really athletic, but the injuries just take hold and They can't really go on and make a long college football career. Now, he is a redshirt junior, so he would be obviously eligible to come back next year. Enter Eric Gibson Jr., who is also a redshirt junior. We'll see. I mean, he played a little bit. Hank Gibbs played a little bit. They got the win. Great. But this is a team that dealt with injuries for so much at the quarterback position last year, including Peter Castelli and then Hank Gibbs. And over and over and over again, guys were just dropping like flies. And then you get into week one. Peter was clearly the number one. Like, they didn't even. Hank Gibbs was the guy in the quarterback competition with Castelli last year. This year, it was no. Hank Gibbs is moving to tight end. And so this cleared the way for Castelli to be the clear cut number one. We did spend some time on the Football 52 podcast talking about Eric Gibson and what he could do. So I would like to see, you know, after a week, I like his demeanor. A couple times I've been out at practice, he just seems like a really good leader. Stuck around after practice to talk to Ed Lamb. Both times I was out there in the spring and then another time in fall camp. He seems like he's got a good head on his shoulders. But now they go up against a Colorado State team that, let's get going on that. Let's talk about the Rams. I mean, they showed that they belonged with old Washington, Mike. It was 21-21 at one point. But then you go away from Dupree, and it's like, I mean, I'm not going to give this away because we've got trivia coming up today. We're starting a trivia segment. Thanks to our great friends at Diamond Valley Collectibles in Windsor. This place is awesome. Sports cards, signed memorabilia, Legos, Mike. They got all the goods in there. Pokemon cards. If you're listening, you are a collector or somebody you know is a collector. So we're going to help you out with Diamond Valley Collectibles. This is an amazing shop right there in Windsor. So I've got trivia today. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to, every correct answer, every day, we put you into a pot at the end of the week and you get a $25 gift certificate. Also, if you are the chosen winner every week, you will be put into another pot of however many weeks we have left in the year. And you could walk away with the grand prize of a $100 gift certificate and a signed jersey. Not sure exactly the details on the jersey. You might get a pick of a few, but legit, good prize. So bring your trivia knowledge today. I'll give you a hint. It has something to do with Colorado State. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Big Hub, I'm actually going to beat you to the jump. CSU looked good, and I'm not mad if we lost. I predicted that score roughly. These kind of things, man. Like, if you tell me that's the score of the game, okay, 38-21. It was tied 14-14 at the half. They did get it to 21-21 in the third quarter. Or in the third quarter. And then Washington scores. You got a BFN back throw, interception. Washington goes down and gets a field goal. So in the fourth quarter, it's 31-21. The Rams have the ball. They're driving somewhat, 10 plays, 25 yards. They get to the 34-yard line. So Braden Fowler Nicolosi has the play right before, pass incomplete to Petey Tucker, 3rd and 7 at Washington 34. So now it's 4th and 7. They line up for the field goal, which I'm told this field goal kicker was like the steal of the transfer portal, like an unknown guy that we should be talking about a lot more. So they end up going with a guy, Taj Bullock, who's like a Swiss Army knife. You saw that. He was doing a little bit of everything. They go for the fake field goal. Don't get it. He's sacked, and that's it. I mean, that was pretty much it. Then Washington gets the ball, short field, goes down, scores a touchdown. CSU has the ball again, turnover on downs. It was a game until the fourth quarter. And I think if you want to look at the glass half full, that's where you go, okay, I thought Washington would cover. And they came close. It was 21.5. Washington wins by 17. It's close, but CSU covers. It was a much closer football game throughout, and then suddenly a bad interception by BFN. He continues to throw off of his back foot. And then a decision to go for it on 4th and 9, or what was it, 4th and 9, 4th and 7. You go for the fake. I mean, you could cut it to 7. Or if you're going to go for it, I think I heard Kevin Lytle talking about it on Good Morning NoCo. If you're going to go for it, line up your offense maybe and just come up with a play. So, I don't know, man. Sky's not falling for CSU. I don't know if BFN is going to get rid of that whole throwing off of his back foot thing. When things get tough for him, that's what he does. Jackson Warren was a bright spot for sure. I said from the beginning, this guy's going to be a stud. I feel like I was ahead on that, by the way. I got tweets to prove it. And then Jalen Dupree, 15 carries for 92 yards and a touchdown. He averaged 6.1 yards per carry. He was cooking. So a couple of positives there. I thought Jackson Warren was awesome. 6 receptions, 79 yards and a touchdown. Dupree was awesome. Didn't see Justin Marshall or Armani Winfield. Armani Winfield reported, like, it. Kevin had posted out that he played maybe 6 snaps or something, but I don't really remember seeing him out there. And then Justin Marshall maybe banged up. Jay Norvell went out of his way to say, we're really high on him still. Nothing like that. It's just maybe a little banged up. But then the running back on Washington's side, Jonah Coleman. Yeah. He's a problem. 24 carries for 177 yards and 2 touchdowns. And Damon, is that how you say it? Damon Williams, quarterback, he had almost 70 yards rushing on top of 226 yards passing. So this is a defense that had a complete overhaul with Tyson Summers, and you gave up 31 points, and you gave up almost 300 yards on the ground against Washington. I'm just not prepared to say, oh, same old Rams. They did do some of the same old Rams things. They're in a game. Doesn't feel like they should have been in a game, but they were in it. Absolutely proved they belonged. And then just a bad interception. And then maybe a bad decision to go for the fake field goal. Those two things, Mike, those two things cost you dearly. I mean, it's a close game, you know, all the way through. You know, you get to the third quarter, it's 21-21, Washington scores, 28-21, still a football game, still a heck of a game, could have a heck of a finish, and then you have the interception. And then from that interception, which was basically at midfield, Washington goes down and they get the field goal out of it. And then once they got it to 2 scores, then that led us, you know, to where CSU felt like, hey, we're going to go for the fake here. Man, I would have liked to kick the field goal. Everything I'm hearing is that this dude could make him. But it's a loss, and it hurts. You know, at some point, and I did my whole minute on this, like, you gotta start showing that you belong in these games, and I think CSU did that. And CSU might go on and do something crazy in the Mountain West. Boise State doesn't look like a good team right now after one game. But if we're gonna say that CSU got much better after game one last year, then it's fair to say that about everybody. This is why you gotta be very careful when you're evaluating the week before and the week after week one. Week 2, 3, 4, you start to kind of go, okay, that's who this team is. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Your thoughts on the weekend. Shoot us a text. Get involved. Buffs lose. Rams lose. Bears win, but at what cost? Wyoming wins, but who are they? Air Force may be back. That's what I took from it. Picks, we ended up 3-2. Over 500, we'll take it. Air Force got me because they covered. And CSU got me because they covered. So we go back to the drawing board. And we see what this weekend looks like. Air Force has Utah State. Air Force is off this week. Air Force is off this week. The Rams are taking on the Bears. So not very many picks this week because I got the Broncos added to the mix. But Air Force will be off, and then CSU and Northern Colorado play each other. All I got to say is, Jay Norvell, you better not lose. You better not lose to UNC, and I don't think they will. Picks are on Friday. Everybody knows that, but let's be honest. You probably better win by a lot. That's where we sit. And then Wyoming's going up against Northern Iowa this week, and then we add the Broncos to the mix. Sunday, 2:05, they take on the Tennessee Titans. And we'll get to all of that. Cody Tucker from 7220sports.com is going to join me at the bottom of this hour. We'll kind of put a little bit of a recap. It's already Tuesday, so we're starting to move on. But the Cowboys did get a good win. Well, the Cowboys got a win defensively, a good win. Offensively, still a little unsure of what this group's going to look like. So we'll get to all of that and more coming up. Before we do that, I want to thank Lemons Heating and Cooling. the season is changing, folks. You know, I think it's going to be in the high 80s this week, but chances of storms, I don't know. Maybe lightning, something. But it will not be that long. We are now officially into September. This is when we change over and get into fall. Make sure that that heater is ready to go when you need it the most. Lemons Heating and Cooling, and maybe that AC unit did, you know, it's on his last leg, whatever, you need to get it looked at. Talk to Lemons Heating and Cooling. Free estimates are available at lemonsheatingandcooling.com. Check them out or call 970-567-0798. All right, when we come back, did you guys catch last night's game between the other UNC and TCU? Whoo! What was she doing on the field? Come on. That was a blowout. It's the whole show. We'll be right back.
Johnson and Bruce Dick for the high school football game of the week. Fridays on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
All right, Thursday's the day. You guys heard us all Friday talking about this place, Big City Roadhouse. This Thursday is official. They're opening. Their doors will be open at 10 o'clock in the morning. They'll go 10 a.m. to 9 o'clock at night daily. And they cannot wait. I got this from one of the owners. They cannot wait to bring all of their creative food and drinks to Greeley. The countdown is on, and we're ready to celebrate. You guys got to stop by. I'm telling you, from what I hear, and I haven't tried anything yet, but from what I hear, we've got a superstar chef, great ownership group that's going to put their best foot forward for this wonderful city of Greeley, Colorado. So Big City Roadhouse, the owners of Big City Burrito, are bringing a little bit of that flavor and a lot more to Greeley, Colorado. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Yeah, that game last night, TCU and North Carolina. I mean, first drive, it was like, it reminded me of when Chip Kelly became the coach of the Philadelphia Eagles right after his Oregon stint. And like the first half, the Eagles looked good, and Adam Schefter's like tweeting out, "Ladies and gentlemen, the new NFL." And it was like, okay, and then I think it was Washington, ended up coming back and made it a close game. I don't know who won, but it was kind of like from that point on, it was nothing. Chip Kelly wasn't very good. So I'm seeing all, and I'm a believer in Bill Belichick. Just, you know, I wasn't going all in game one. But you're seeing all the social media activities when North Carolina goes right down and scores easily, and they go up 7-0. And it's like, oh, this is going to be this. Bill Belichick should have been in college a long time ago. He's going to dominate this. And TCU went on to score 40 unanswered points. They end up winning 48-14. I mean, Josh Hoover looked really good. 284 yards, 2 touchdowns. Did throw a pick. They were running really well, especially in that third quarter. Kevorion Barnes had 113 yards. Jordan Dwyer, receiver, 9 receptions for 136 yards and a touchdown. Dude, North Carolina looked awful. And then you get Bill Belichick's like girlfriend. She's in a box up there, like right, sitting next to Randy Moss and a few other celebrity former football player people. And then at one point she's on the field, and Belichick's like she kind of runs up to him during the game, folks. Belichick like kind of lifts his headset and she says something to him, and then he throws his headset back on and goes right back out to coaching. Is it the end of the world? No, but when you're getting smoked like that and you see it, because you don't even see coaches' wives out there. Have you ever seen in the last 20 years, have you ever seen during the game a coach's wife is out on the field, like the sidelines, talking to the head coach? You ever seen that, Mike? I've never seen that in my life.
This is some weird stuff.
Yeah, yeah, it's very bizarre.
I think she's a leech.
It's just weird. The whole thing is just weird. And it doesn't seem like it's Bill Belichick. Belichick for the longest time was, and that's just like his old football. That's it. I do football. That's all I do. On to Cincinnati and I football. Man, what's the question? Football. I football. And now he's got this young, pretty girlfriend that suddenly has like changed the image of Bill Belichick. Would have been fine if you win the game, I guess. I don't know if it'd be fine. It's just, if you guys think the Taylor Swift stuff is annoying, this is worse. She's like out there on the field. Communicate. What is her role there? I just you can't help but kind of just roll your eyes at it. But more importantly, who won the game? And oh, go ahead, Mike.
I was going to say maybe they need to put a dog collar on her to keep her in the box.
I don't know about that. Sounds like you might have some trouble doing that kind of thing. Okay, so now I'm seeing that, hey, well, when Deion Sanders came in first year and beat TCU, it was, oh, TCU's not that good. Well, TCU goes and smokes North Carolina, and it's Bill Belichick's not given the same treatment as Coach Prime. It's, oh, wait, TCU's really good. Well, you find out as the season progresses, TCU went on to win like 5 games that year. We'll see. If TCU's bad this year, but based on one performance, they look really good. 30 minutes after the hour, we got Cody Tucker joining us. Wyoming Cowboys are 1-0. They had 3 wins last year, so you're not apologizing for a win, no matter who it's against. We'll get Cody's thoughts on the game that was played on Thursday, almost a week ago already, and what's next for this team going forward. They're looking at Northern Iowa on Saturday. So we'll talk to Cody about that coming up next. But first, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally. Like growing up with a bank you can count on. Like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
It's Jerry Schimmel, the voice of the Colorado Rockies and formerly voice of the UNC Bears, and you're listening to The Whole Show.
Minutes after the 11 o'clock hour, the Wyoming Cowboys get the win. It feels like a lifetime ago. There's been a lot going on now that we got football like ready to rock and roll. 2 days away from the NFL starting up. So a lot has transpired, but the Cowboys are 1-0. That's big for a team that only won 3 games last year. They beat Akron 10-0. Joining us now, Cody Tucker, 7220sports.com. He is our Wyoming Cowboys insider. Cody, defensively, first off, I mean, lights out. Doesn't get much better than, you know, shutting a team out. I don't care who it is.
Yeah, no question, especially on the road and in this day and age when football's so geared toward offenses, Brady. It was just a really, really solid effort from that group, which includes 9 new starters. And something that a lot of people wouldn't know from the outside, Wyoming rolled 22 players in that game on the defensive side of the ball. That is just something they have not been able to do around here in a long, long time, especially when you had, you know, Wyatt Eckler and Isaac White back there in the secondary at the safety spot over the last 3 years. They never left the field. Shea Suianoa, Connor Shea, linebacker, they never left the field last year either. So depth, they wanted to create depth. They wanted to make sure they can do things like that and be able to use the bench as a motivator, if you will, and you know, it worked in this one, and it was really an impressive deal. They only let Akron cross the 50-yard line 4 times all night long, and when their starting field position averaged the 30-yard line, I mean, it was dominant in every way.
Well, talk to me too. Speaking of dominant, Braden Johnson was, every time you look up on there, he was everywhere on the field.
Yeah, man, 6'4", 248, senior out of Oklahoma Baptist. Man, yeah, 8 tackles in his first FBS game, his Wyoming debut, and obviously the huge interception a couple of yards into the end zone. Ben Finley looked to thread one in, and Braden Johnson followed his eyes and picked it off, and that was the only real legit scoring threat that Akron had all night long on their long trip to the red zone, and he thwarted that real quick. Man, he's a man of few words, but after the game, he just it seems like kind of a stretch, Brady, but he said, you know, we heard Akron's head coach saying that, you know, Wyoming just got a bunch of small school guys and lesser division players that came in the transfer portal, and he took that personal.
Yeah, it certainly seemed like it. On the defensive side of the ball, on offense, I don't know, Cody. For a while, it was kind of a lot of what we saw last year. You had some big players, some big numbers. Sam Scott was ridiculous. What did he have, 30 carries in that game? I mean, he was toting the rock. But your guy, you talked highly of this guy for a while now, but Chris Durr Jr., with the sweet touchdown, 8 receptions, almost 200 yards, big touchdown for him. Do you look at this offense and say, hey, we're going to see more of that kind of stuff? Or where are we at this stage? Is it going to be kind of a slug where, hey, defensively, we're gonna ask you against the Northern Iowas of the world, or you got to hold these teams under 17 points or so until we kind of figure it out?
No, I don't think so. I really don't. A lot of people, of course, were jumping off a cliff during this one. And, you know, I guess rightfully so after the way last year went. But, you know, it was week one. They put up 426 yards of total offense.
Yeah, right.
Got, like you mentioned, you know, 29 carries, obviously a career high, 132 yards. Chris Durr Jr. was a freak. Jay Sauvel mentioned yesterday, you know, John Michael Gillenbarg didn't really get into the act this week. He only had a couple of catches, 3 catches for 19 yards. But, He they kind of geared toward him, and the opening was at Chris Durr Jr., and it showed. I mean, he ended up with 146 yards and obviously that 35-yard touchdown, which was just lightning fast, and the guy is a freak. So, no, I'm not worried at all. When it was 3rd-and-2 or 4th-and-2 and less, this team was 3-and-7, 3-for-7, and it's got to get better. And they turned the ball over on downs twice, and, you know, the short yardage stuff. Believe me, that's going to be an emphasis this week. So I'm not worried at all. The other thing I think that we forget about sometimes, get lost in things. Yeah, Jack Walsh has started a ton of games on the offensive line, so has Caden Barnett. But, you know, respectively, Walsh has never started at center before in a game, and Barnett's never started at guard, and Evan Sabota still new at the tight end position, and Bryson Brantley's a new wide receiver, and there's still some new guys on that side of the ball that are working into some new spots. So, yeah, I'm definitely not sounding the alarms anytime soon here. I thought they did everything between the 20s. They just didn't finish.
Cody Tucker joining us, 7220sports.com. You have to imagine, you know, as high as everybody's been on John Michael Gillenbarg, for Akron, that was going to be, hey, we have to try to shut him down. 3 receptions for 19 yards. But how much is that going to help him out when he's got Chris Durr Jr. going alongside? It's like, all right, teams want to really put the emphasis and focus on me. Well, now you got to be a little careful because we just proved we might have a dog at wide receiver in Durr Jr.
Yeah, we talked about it last week. You know, pick your poison. Who are you going to cover? Which guy are you going to cover? And Joe Moorhead, the head coach at Akron, during his press conference, said we made an emphasis to follow number 84. We thought that Gillenbarg was our best offensive player, and he's probably right. But, you know, you do that, Chris Durr Jr. is going to slip, and he did. And, you know, this is a game, too, where Jalen Sargent, the Cowboys' leading receiver from a year ago, he was benched early on. I believe he only played 18 snaps in this game, and Javon Bonite wants more. So they're you know, they have a lot of depth this year, and I know we keep talking about that every time we come on here, Brady, but that's something this program hasn't had in a long, long time, and they really rectified that in the offseason. And so far, it's already paid huge dividends, especially on the defensive side of the ball. So they have a lot of weapons. Sam Scott was incredible the other night, really big effort for him, workhorse effort, but they don't want him carrying the ball 29 times either. They need to find somebody behind him as well. So I thought it was kind of a feeling out process. The weather actually was pretty terrible. There was no humidity. It was cold. It was rainy. It was windy. There was a couple times there where maybe Jay Sauvel could have opted for a field goal attempt to make this a couple score game, but you know, he said he just, he's actually the kicking coach as well. So he said he just didn't trust, a guy who's never kicked in a game before to kick from the left hash there from 48 yards out late in the first half. And that's why he decided to go away from that. So I think they were filling it out. Plus, I think he was confident in his team that they were going to score and they were going to win this game. So, you know, he kind of took a few more chances there.
All right. Now when you look forward at what's next for Wyoming, I know you're digging in on all this, but Northern Iowa, this is a big one for the Cowboys because next they got Utah at home and then they go to Boulder to take on the Buffs, and we'll see kind of what the Buffs are. They lose to Georgia Tech. We'll find out a little bit more about them too. They have Delaware. This is a big one. Starting off 2-0 before you go up against those two maybe better teams at this stage, we'll see, but this would be nice to have that second win before you get into that.
Yeah, Brady, for sure. But, you know, more importantly is Wyoming went 1-5 in their own building last year, and they lost way too many close games, including to their lone FCS opponent, Idaho. We're having fun with Jason Eck and watching him do his thing in New Mexico right now because of the way they played in Laramie last year and beat Wyoming in that game. Wyoming has traditionally of late played pretty poorly against these FCS opponents, playing down to them, if you will. That's something that really needs to change, and they really need to be emphatic about it this week. You know, they take care of business in short yardage last week. They're probably winning that game by 3-4 touchdowns in Akron, and that's what it needs to look like against Northern Iowa. And no offense to them, they had a nice game against Butler. They put up 38 points. Matthew Shekelman, their quarterback, threw 4 touchdowns to 4 different receivers. And Northern Iowa's no slouch, man. They've been a really good FCS program for a long time. But you need to put your foot on their throat early, and you need to start winning games at home. I mean, the crowds have been incredible. This is going to be another sellout. And you got to start giving the home crowd something to be happy about. A couple years ago, of course, they went undefeated at home, and they really need to figure it out there and start there. And then, like you mentioned, you know, you got a couple of bears after that. You know, I'd argue Utah looked better than almost anybody in the country in week one. So that's a really tough one coming down the pike here.
What did you make of kind of the rest of the slate of games in the Mountain West? You know, you see Boise State get absolutely handled by South Florida, 34-7. CSU ends up, you know, they do cover the spread, 21.5. They lose to Washington, though. In that second half, Washington really kind of went off. What do you make of this Mountain West? And as Wyoming kind of progresses, maybe it does feel a little bit wide open, at least as we talk heading into week two.
You know what it shows me, Brady, is now more than ever, like we've talked about numerous times, you just don't know. You have no idea what these rosters look like. Putting together a preseason top 25 is insane at this point. It's just, you just don't know. There's too many moving parts. There's too many new pieces. Who had San Jose State losing at home to Central Michigan?
Right.
I sure as hell didn't. I picked San Jose State to finish second in this conference. You know, who picked UNLV to even struggle with Idaho State? You know, who picked New Mexico to even be in the same building with Michigan? So, you know, I thought, you know, it's easy to be knee-jerk right now and say, oh, the Mountain West looks pretty terrible. CSU played really well. They really ran the ball. They definitely have a running back. And also, on the flip side, Washington's run defense is really bad.
And
Boise State, you know, are they going to be that team this week with Eastern Washington coming in? I doubt it. I kind of feel bad for Eastern Washington already, if we're being honest. So, in Wyoming, their offense is way better than it showed. They were good for 24 to 28 points in that game at least, and their defense played way better than anybody ever expected with 9 new starters that nobody knew about. So I think I picked the Cowboys 7th because I've never seen this defense before. I've never seen what they can do. And Ben Finley, a guy who is supposed to be one of the best quarterbacks in the MAC, 38 dropbacks, got pressured, hit, or sacked on 28 of those. So that makes a hell of a difference. So to me, long story short, it just, nobody has a clue week to week. We're going to have to really see them settle in, and that might take all of the non-conference slate here to see what teams are actually going to look like.
Yeah, I think you're 100% right. You know, I always say that first week is learning week, but maybe it is the non-conference schedule. It's like that's by week 4, we have a better idea of who these guys are before they get set to take on their conference opponents. I think you're spot on. It's harder now than it ever was.
Yeah. You don't, I mean, even picking your own team. And that's why when I see people go, well, I don't know whether to trust the local media or the media who covers the Mountain West. Well, don't ask me about Air Force. Don't ask me about San Diego State. I mean, it's hard enough keeping track of your own teams at this point. You know, the Cowboys have 47 new guys on this roster. So anybody who says they know, bottom line, they just don't.
That's the thing. Like even before all this craziness, you see guys going up against each other in practice, and you know because they're not jumping into the portal and leaving as much, so you know who they are based on what they did this season before. But how many times do we have guys who are really good one year, really bad the next, or vice versa? So it is such a crapshoot. But so far so good for the Cowboys. Every win is important for them after only a 3-win season last year. So, you know, take it when you can get them at this stage.
Yeah, no question. I mean, you talked about Braden Johnson, a guy at Oklahoma Baptist. I guarantee nobody in your audience could even point out where Oklahoma Baptist is on the map.
Mm-mm.
And he's a guy who now Wyoming's coaches are going, how the hell were you a Division II linebacker for the last 3 years?
Right.
How did this happen? How does somebody like this slide through the cracks? And you have guys like that, and you have guys like Desmond Hearns, who came over from Southern Illinois, and a couple guys on this defensive front from Riverside City College. I mean, I can see why Joe Moore had said, well, they brought in a lot of lower small school guys, because they did. But they also made it a point to make sure those guys had a chip on their shoulder and felt overlooked. And that's Braden Johnson in a nutshell.
Yeah, what a stud. Cowboys are 1-0. Took care of Akron 10-0. Cody, always appreciate it, my man. What are you working on in the next couple of days that we can check out at 7220sports.com?
Well, just wrote a – it's on the website right now. Caden Anderson is about to cut a big fat check, and, you know, his wallet's going to be a little lighter after he pays for the entire offensive line to eat dinner this week after not allowing a sack. So that was pretty cool. And then, of course, Braden Johnson, the man of the hour, talking about him and just, you know, Jay Sawbell and Aaron Bowl were both linebackers in college at small schools too, and just they took a lot of pride in watching a fellow small school guy really do his thing in that debut. So those are a couple things up right now, and then, you know, hot and heavy on Northern Iowa.
Well, let's get into it. Cody, appreciate it, my friend, and we'll look to catch up with you next week. Hopefully we're talking about the Cowboys starting the season 2-0 before facing Utah next weekend.
Absolutely.
All right, my man.
Appreciate you, Brady, as always, man.
Thanks, man. Cody Tucker, 7220sports.com. He's right. I mean, learning week, did we learn a whole lot? I can't say honestly that we learned a whole lot about teams. There was one team that I learned more about than the other, and I will talk about that coming up next. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. Also, stay tuned. We got Mike Brohard from CSURams.com going to join us. His takeaways from Colorado State's loss to the Washington Huskies over the weekend. All that and more. Plus, we got buy or sell. We got top stories of the day. And I got trivia day. We got Diamond Valley Collectibles with our first trivia question of the day. Be ready. I don't want you Googling it. Don't cheat. It's CSU related. There's your hint. And you're going to be registered if you win for a $25 gift certificate. We'll be right back.
Let's have a drink. Football 52, the two-man game. Cody the weather guy and Front Range Spare Change. We do more than just radio. We have the best podcasts around. Get them all on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and 1310kfka.com.
This is Christopher Dempsey, your Nuggets insider from Altitude Sports, and you are listening to the whole show on 1310kfka.
So the Colorado Buffaloes end up losing to Georgia Tech 27-20. Pat Shurmur certainly on fire. I posted out, Mike. Pat Shurmur ain't it. You remember his time with the Broncos? I mean, it was bad. And I did not like the play calling in this game. I tweeted out, Pat Shurmur ain't it, gang. You know who liked it? You know who liked the tweet?
Pat Shurmur.
No. Take another guess.
Coach Prime.
Getting closer. Getting warmer.
Shedeur Sanders.
Getting warmer.
Shiloh Sanders.
Getting very warm. There's still a son that is very much involved in the program over there.
Steve Sanders.
Deion Sanders Jr. Bucky. Liked it. He liked it, Mike. So, of course, I messaged him. Hey, guys, hey, don't hang your head. You guys will bounce back. Want to be on the show? Nothing yet. Nothing yet. I'm not an approved media member, so I will not be getting him on. I can guarantee you that.
Also, you're not a jewelry store.
I thought it would... What does that mean?
Well, they like jewelry, so.
Who does?
They would want you to trade jewelry for.
The Sanders is this like jewelry? Okay. You must know a lot more about them than I do. 11:57 the time. We got top stories of the day coming up. Mike Brohard going to join us. We'll talk some Colorado State. I just don't think it's freakout time yet. I didn't like how the things went in that Rams game, but it's just not freakout time. Top stories coming up next.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.